We're starting a new sermon series entitled Seven Words. We're doing a whole church-wide study on this book that is called Seven Words, and it's really about not seven words, but seven sayings of Jesus. And these are really like his last words to us, last words to his followers. They were made literally on the cross. And so we're going to take a look at these over the course of this 6 weeks. And you know, in my ministry, I have had the holy privilege of being with family members as they had a dying loved one, and have been present for people telling their loved ones their last words. I love you so much. We had such a great life. I mean, there are all kinds of, but families find those last words to be precious, that they are words that they cling to really for the rest of their lives, knowing that they got these last words from their loved one. And I think that the words from Jesus, his last words for us, should be just as precious. I think that they are important for us to stop and take a look at and understand them. I think these seven sayings of Jesus are special, and we need to make them a part of our heart and of our faith. So the seven sayings of Jesus are the one that we're going to look at today. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The second one is, today you will be with me in paradise. The third is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The fourth is, woman, here is your son. The fifth is, I am thirsty. The sixth is, it is finished. And the seventh is, into your hands I commend my spirit. And so we're going to take six and seven together. So it will be over the 6 weeks of the six Sundays of Lent. But these seven sayings of Jesus are important for us. And I get that spending 6 weeks sort of literally in the shadow of the cross, thinking about Christ crucified, might be a bit of a bummer. Being a Christian isn't all sunshine and roses. Sometimes we have to study the hard things that are a part of our faith, because we know that hard times will come our way. I don't think it's really helpful for our faith to go from the joy of a parade on Palm Sunday and just skip over what happens with the rest of Holy Week and then celebrate Easter. There's some important things that happen in between. And I think there are some important words that are uttered by Jesus as he hangs from this cross. And I think it's important for us to study them. Our text today comes from the Gospel of Luke. It's the crucifixion story, and that story appears in all four Gospels. And in all four Gospels, they talk about the two men who were crucified on either side of Jesus. Some they're identified as criminals, some they're identified as robbers. But we know that these two men are crucified next to Jesus. So let's take a look at our text today. It comes from the 23rd chapter of Luke, verses 32 through 34. Hear these words. Two others also were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots for his clothing. This is the word of God for the people of God. So we read in this passage that these two criminals walk with Jesus to the place of the skull, and there they are crucified with him, one on either side of them. You know, when we read in the Gospels, they say something like, they crucified him. that for us, pretty sanitized. The first century reader would have seen a crucifixion. They would have known exactly what was happening with a crucifixion. So let me just remind you just a little bit. We'll talk some more as we further in Holy Week about it. But crucifixion was the most painful way man devised to kill ourselves, to kill each other. It was intentionally designed to be painful. There are stories about people hanging on the cross for weeks. So when we read in the Gospels and they crucified him, you need to understand that this is intense pain that Jesus suffers on our behalf. So despite the fact that Herod and Pilate twice both said, "We don't see any reason to kill this man," the Jews proceeded anyway. And you remember the story. Pilate sort of symbolically washes his hands and basically says, "Do what you're going to do." And so Jesus is being treated here as a common criminal. Off to crucifixion with other criminals. He's being just treated like another bad guy. But we see something different from Jesus, who's being crucified as a criminal. He forgives the people who are crucifying him. And you remember back to the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, some of Jesus' difficult teachings about love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. We see Jesus doing exactly that. Jesus has given us some tall orders, some tough things to do, to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies, to pray for those that persecute us. And on the cross, he shows us exactly how to do it. He says this phrase, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's an example for us on how to forgive. It's an example for us on how to do these difficult things that Jesus has called us to do. Let's look at this phrase, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So he starts off calling God Father, and that's nothing new. We see in really all the Gospels that he refers to God as his Father. He prays to God as his Father frequently. But as I hear that, I am reminded that God also is my Father. That as followers of Jesus, we have this unique privilege of calling the God of the universe our Father. And that is a privilege that comes to us through the grace of Jesus Christ. That we are a child of the God of the universe, the one who spoke things into existence. That is a privilege of ours as a child of God. And so he says, "Forgive them." Who exactly is them? Well, I think at first it starts with the people that are actually nailed him to the cross. It's Roman soldiers. It's the Romans. He's saying, "Forgive them. That they don't know what they're doing." But it's also the Jews, for they don't really know what they're doing. I mean, do you think if the Jews really understood that Jesus was the Messiah, they would have stuck him on a cross? Clearly not. It is in their ignorance that they did these things to the Son of God, to the Son of Man. And we see that in asking for forgiveness for both the Romans and the Jews, that Jesus is really talking about the world. Not just the chosen people, but the Romans as well. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But I also have to tell you that the them is you and me. It's all of us. All of us have a little piece of Jesus on that cross. Our sinful nature makes it necessary for the atonement to happen. And Jesus pays that price for all of us. And so we, too, are partially responsible for Jesus being on that cross, that we might receive the gift of forgiveness. It is so precious and paid with such a high price. It's all of us that helped put Jesus on that cross. Think of the ways in your life that you maybe turn your back on Jesus. We know what God's will is. We know what we want to do. And they're not the same. And we choose our will over God's. It's part of the reason he's on the cross, is that we do that. Now, I know you are all really nice and wonderful people, but you can't ever be good enough to earn God's grace. You can't be good enough to get in the doors of heaven. The only way is through the grace of our resurrected Lord. We are part of the reason that he's on that cross. He asked God to forgive them out of their ignorance. And we certainly are that. We try to be good disciples. We try to be followers of Jesus. We try to follow the things that he has asked of us. But it's hard. Remember, Jesus told us to forgive. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, thank you for the forgiveness as we forgive others. So let me help you here. Forgiveness is not an optional event. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, forgiveness is the command. It's the order of the day to forgive. It is not an optional event if you claim yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, the disciples ask, how many times must we forgive somebody? And he says, 7 times 7D. It's a lot. It's what it means. Jesus means it's a lot. He means you don't get to not forgive people. It's a requirement to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I get it. That's hard. I mean, Jesus is asking a hard thing of us, to forgive. I mean, if you've been in an abusive relationship, if you've lost a child through carelessness of someone else or through murder, I can't imagine that grief. But as a follower of Jesus, you have a responsibility to forgive. You remember the church in Mississippi where there was a shooting? A man came in amongst their midst, sat in a Bible study with them, prayed with them, and then shot a bunch of them. The thing I remember most about that is that church, who was so harmed by this man were so ready and willing to forgive him. It was an inspiration to me as a follower of Jesus that in spite of the horrid acts that this man did, this church stood ready to forgive. Why? Not because they were nice people, because they were followers of Jesus Christ, and it's required. It's required. Let's talk a little bit about how, because that's the hard part. It's the hard part to forgive someone who's really sinned against you, has really done you wrong. It's really hard. I understand it. But I can tell you my experience. It starts with saying the words out loud. I forgive you. Now let me give you fair warning. Don't walk up to somebody that you think has done you wrong and say, I forgive you. Because the odds are pretty good that you've been carrying this around for a long time and they may not even know that they did it. They may not even know about it. So just don't walk up to somebody randomly and say, I forgive you. But I have found that the actual saying of the words has value. Saying, I forgive you, even out loud to an empty room, has value. Now look, I get it. The words might come out of your lips tasting like lemons or something terribly bitter. But if you can say them, it starts the process. Prayer. Prayer is a huge part of learning to forgive. Every day, asking God to soften your heart, to help you to forgive this person for whatever it is they did. And sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's yourself that needs to be forgiven, right? Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. But praying for God to change your heart, to allow you to forgive, where it starts. And I believe that saying the words out loud can really help you to begin that journey. Certainly has been my experience. There's a saying about the whole forgiveness thing. It's just fake it till you make it. And there's some truth. There's some value in that. You try to forgive. And I get you hang on to it. And you can forgive a little bit more every day. Time helps us to forgive. But I think really, for me at least, it starts with voicing the words, I forgive you. Jesus has given us a pretty tall commandment, tall instructions. To forgive those who do us wrong. It's not an optional event. We don't get to choose not to. And I get that's hard. But it's your obligation as a follower of Jesus to forgive. Let us pray. Gracious God, what a gift you have given us in the grace of Jesus. The forgiveness that comes our way. Help us, Father, to forgive those who have wronged us, real or imagined. Father, help us to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we become our own worst enemy in that. Help us to let go, Father. Father, help us to voice the words that I forgive. Help us, Father, to be like Jesus, who said those words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. What an example he is for us. Help us to be more like him. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.